morning. This morning we have a special conversation we're going to have. I'm going to invite Aaron and Samantha Hawkins to come on up and join me on stage. And Aaron and Samantha, many of you know, experienced the flood in August. And go ahead and be seated. And or we could stand. We could stand up here awkwardly for a little while. I like to be the king of awkwardness. Hopefully, are those on? We check. Try again.
Hello.
Keep talking. Check.
Check. Check.
It's check. You. It's not me. It's you. So you guys experienced the flood. First of all, before we're going to get to that, I wanted everybody to hear a little bit of their story, and for us to hear what your experience was like. And but before we do that, just tell us, for anybody who might not know you, how long you guys been here at South? Tell us a little bit about you, what you do, your boys. You have three boys, Ethan, Jackson, and Caleb.
We do have three boys.
I'll let you talk.
My name is Aaron Hawkins. I've been at South since 2005. I was a freshman in college. I guess we've been here as a family since 2011 after we moved back from New Orleans. But it's very humbling to be a part of this family, and just the graciousness and amazingness that God does in this church body.
I'm Sam. I've been here for about 15 years. Me and Aaron met at the Student Center, got married, had lots of babies. We have three wild, crazy boys. I'm sure y'all have seen them and know them.
Yes, we have. We love your boys. No, we love. Well, awesome. Yeah, I'm glad you said. I was going to ask if you guys knew each other before South, or if you met at the Campus Center. And well, very good. Well, tell us about, we obviously all also experienced different things that weekend. Tell us about what happened with you guys.
I'll try to keep this short, but it's a long story. We started flooding 5 a.m. Friday morning, which the big stuff happened Saturday, but I woke up and Aaron and the kids are in the playroom. I'm like, what are y'all doing? It's 5 in the morning. Like, we don't have electricity. And I was like, there's water in here. So they're picking everything up. So I was like, okay. So we start picking things up. And our playroom is our garage. So it's like 6 inches lower. So our house was fine at that point. We're picking stuff up. And then we're waiting as the day goes on. And there's water starts coming in the front door. But it's just like very little. So we're like, okay, we should probably go. We packed bags for the boys. We packed bags for us. It's kind of really high out there. I was like, I don't know if we can make it out. So we kind of waited it out for a little while. I kind of freaked out a little bit. And then we finally decided, okay, we need to try to go. So we got all the kids in there. We went to my mom's house, who lives in Denham too. We went, dropped the kids off. We went back to our house to try to take pictures and, you know, lift things up if we could. We just wanted to get the boys out. Then we came back to my mom's house, and her neighborhood started flooding, so we're like, well, maybe we should go. My mom stayed behind, and we went to a hotel at night in Denham, and finally, like at 9 o'clock at night, we convinced my mom to come stay with us at the hotel. And then the next day, our plan was we got up, we ate breakfast at the hotel. We were going to go back to our house. Mom was going to go back to her house because we, at this point, we're like, okay, it's going to be bad. We're going to try to lift things up on cinder blocks, which we didn't have cinder blocks. So I don't know why I thought that was a good idea. but that was the plan. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the house, save what we could, and then go to Hammond, which is where Aaron's family is. We start going down range. I don't know if you're familiar with Denham. We live on the side by the high school. My mom lived on the opposite side. So we go our separate ways. We didn't make it very far before. There's water everywhere. There was car stops. So we're like, well, maybe we'll just go to Hammond instead now. The house will be fine. And we turn around. It took us like 30 minutes to an hour just to get out of Denham. And we were right there by the interstate. And I called my mom. I was like, don't worry about the house. Come with us. So she turned around. Then we got on the interstate, headed to Hammond. And traffic was really bad, and we finally got to about Holden, and it was like almost a stop. I don't know if y'all are familiar. It's Holden, Albany, Baptist Pumpkin Center. We just need to get to Baptist Pumpkin Center. We're past Holden, and it stopped, and my friend from work calls me on the phone. She's from Baptist Pumpkin Center, and she was like, I think all the roads are closed to Hammond. I think y'all should try to go back to Baton Rouge. So we're like, okay. So I call my mom. She's like a mile behind us. I was like, we're going to try to turn around. So we turn around. There's no one on this side of the interstate, which should have been a clue. but people were coming the opposite way on the interstate towards us. So we're trying to get to back to Baton Rouge. We go through like this big lake of water, which was probably the scariest part of that day because I don't know how we made it through that. And then we come to another big lake. I was like, there's no way we can make it with the car through that. So we're like, all right, well, let's just turn back around and wait back in line in the interstate. We'll eventually get there. So, I mean, I keep calling my mom. My poor mom's behind us doing everything we're doing. And so we turn around. We get back on the interstate. We finally make it past Holden, and then we just stop. And that's when we were there for, like, what 36 hours?
What time was that you got stopped? This was on Saturday.
It was probably 10 or 11 that we stopped. And then we didn't start moving again until 4 o'clock on Sunday.
4 o'clock on Sunday.
4 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. So, it was it was interesting to say the least. I mean,
and you guys you're here and you're married.
Yes.
Still married.
Stuck in the car.
And our kids are still alive.
And your kids are still alive.
They are.
36 hours in your car. So no one, you couldn't get out and no one could get to you. Is that right?
Yeah. No. So basically we're stuck between Holden and Albany because there was water on this side of Holden, water on this side of Albany. Yeah.
Did you guys have some food and some water in the car with you or?
We didn't have anything. There was a gas station that was about 3 miles to an exit, and at some point during the day, I was like, well, I know there's a gas station up there, so I'll try to walk up there and see if I can, you know, get any food we can. And I checked 3 miles over there, and there's a line, but they said it's about 2 or 3 hour wait just to get in, because they're only letting like 2 or 3 people in at a time, because they're scared they're going to get robbed from everything. And so Sam calls me and says, hey, some people dropped off some food, so I eventually made my way back to the car. So this was after dark, I guess, at this point. But
Who was it that dropped off food for you?
Just some random people that were on the interstate with us. They were going to the cars of people that have kids, and they had like a little Ziploc bag full of food that they dropped off. It was like Cheez-Its and animal crackers, and they had bottles of water. Which we did have a 2 liter of Sprite and a Coke Zero, but we were trying to save that.
By the way, if you're one of those people who like obsesses over details and people in your life sort of give you a hard time because you're very organized and you're the kind of person that says, well, we're going to get in the car. Maybe we should bring some Ziplocs and some Cheez-Its. And everyone sort of says, oh, you're a little over the top with your organization. Thank the Lord for people like that. Thank you for being you, right? Well, that's incredible. So the kindness of some strangers, and what else did you guys do? Did the boys stay calm, or were they,
well, relatively? At least we had a phone charger in the car, so, and I have, they were able to watch Netflix on my phone, so that kept them at bay for a little while. I guess the funniest story about them is we had a bottle cap, and they played with the bottle cap on the side of the interstate. For hours, it kept them entertained. They just throw the bottle cap and run after it, and of course Jackson could never get it. But and then they had where we were stopped. They had a side road, and they had people come out there at least twice and just serve food. Mm-hmm. I think they had red beans one time, and I don't remember.
Gumbo
was the other one. Mm-hmm. We had to cross over a ditch to get it, but I mean they just. And through the fence, but it really is amazing that people in crisis, people step up, and then there was also some fruit trucks that were just, and produce trucks that were stopped in the interstate, and they didn't know how long they were going to be there, so they just opened up the produce truck and said, awesome. Here, have some food, because, yeah. you know, they didn't know how long they were going to be, and they didn't want, there's no reason for it to let it go bad, so.
Was there a Bluebell ice cream truck on the interstate?
There was not. There was not, unfortunately.
Glad it was produce, so. Well, and you know, and we're laughing, and yet, what a scary situation, and just, I mean, you don't know how long you're going to be there, and, What's that like? I mean, I think many of us, I would say me included, I don't know that I've ever truly been in a situation in my life where I wasn't sure, like, wasn't sure if I was going to be okay. Did you guys feel like that at any point, or?
I did on Sunday because the cell service went out on Sunday. And so all the people that I was texting that were okay and were like giving me updates, I couldn't text them anymore.
And Netflix goes down. Netflix and now it's like down. We're really in trouble now.
So I started to panic a little bit when it became like afternoon time on Sunday because I was like, I don't know when we're getting out of here. Like no one has communicated with us at this point. They did have helicopters that Sunday that came and dropped off supplies, but they were like far away from us, so we couldn't even talk to anyone to see, hey, what's the plan? I mean, you just feel like, I mean, they're gonna help us, they're gonna come help us, but I mean, it was a natural disaster. Like, can they actually come help us right now? What are we gonna do?
Yeah.
I panicked a little.
You know, walking back and forth, because, you know, I was going to see her mom too, just, you know, give her some food that we had gotten, and talking to different people, you know, you heard anywhere from a day to a week, you know, that they've heard. I mean, you know, I didn't think it'd really be a week, but I was, you know, really praying there was going to be Sunday. I mean, because I didn't know how much longer, you know, the boys were going to last. It, you know, relatively speaking, they were very good. I mean, as good as can be expected in that kind of situation. But, you know, and then finally they came down in a Humvee, and they said they're going to open the bridge in an hour and a half passed, and you know they finally opened it, but it was a interesting feeling, I guess, to finally start moving. I'm like, this is really happening, we're actually going to make it to Hammond, you know, 36 hours later. But you know, it's just, I remember pulling into my parents' driveway and just being like, you know, it's like a weight lifted off my shoulders. Hey, we finally made it, and it's not something I want to experience again. But yeah. You know, I'm, you know, definitely, you know, grateful that, you know, God protected us, and you know, we weren't the only ones out there, and there were a lot of nice people out there, you know, and just, you know, it's one of those things we'll look back on, you know, 10 years and be like, hey. And we survived that. So.
Yeah. Tell us about when you were able to go back to your home the first time. What that was like for you guys. What's it like to walk in and see your stuff?
Well, let's see. We weren't able to get back until Wednesday because none of the roads were opened up from Hammond into Livingston Parish or anything like that. And I guess for me, I was in contact with my neighbor. He had a boat, and he was able to get back to his house on Monday or Tuesday. So I was in communication with him, and I had an idea of what things were going to be like, because he's saying, well, I got about 4.5 feet of water already, and we're lower than he is. So I knew it was going to be bad. But walking in the first time, I kind of expected it, to know what to see. I guess the biggest shock for me was just how much, what the water could do, like how much it moved everything around, and just, you know, of course our table, it moved our table and cracked our window, and, you know, just, it wasn't, I guess it wasn't just utter fear and of the unknowing, at least I kind of had an expectation.
You know, we always say it's just stuff, right? And yet it is your stuff. Tell me, if you're willing, like, what's something that now, okay, relatively speaking, I mean, you guys are okay, your boys are okay. This is not an important thing, but tell me something that you saw that you lost, that all things considered is kind of we would look at and say, and it's mostly trivial, but just really, you were really bummed about. Like, I mean, it could be a, you know, a Wizard of Oz DVD, or I mean, anything, not a wizard. I don't know where that came from. Just something that you're like, oh, I can't believe we.
Well, I mean, obviously the boys stuff, like Ethan's baby book. I mean, he's the only one that I started a baby book on, but his baby book made me sad. Our Harry Potter books, that was sad.
Yeah. And you didn't get that response from the baby book, but from the Harry Potter books.
And my paint, I like to paint, and all my paint was ruined, so that was hard for me.
I got fortunate my flat screen was okay.
Well, I know you probably can't mention everybody for sure, but and you might feel a little awkward about calling somebody out, but tell me about, name a couple names, people here at South that just through all this have really just blown you away, that have been a blessing to you or surprised you.
I really want to say thanks to Robert Neal, because he kind of took charge of helping us take down drywall and pretty much gutting our house. We had gotten most of the we'd gotten all the contents out at that point with my family and a few family friends, but he really took charge as far as helping me with the drywall and you know, kind of helping me, you know, get my ducks in a row and what I needed to do next, and before I got a contractor and everything like that.
Mike and Dana Bereka, I don't know if y'all are here, but oh my gosh, they are awesome. They were there day one with us, gutting the house. Miss Dana cooked us food. They have been there for us throughout everything, and they, not only us, but like they were bouncing back and forth between our house and the Barron's house, helping them. They were just like nonstop, and they're still helping us to this day. So many people, our whole life group. Barry McGee, oh my gosh, she was out there rescuing people on boats, and the next day would come gut a house, go to this person's house, gut their house, come back, help us gut our house. Like, I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he was still standing. The Vasquezes have been huge in this process for us. Sarah Frank, she had her whole family at her house, and she's like, you can come stay with us. We'll figure it out. And she's the one that is always there for me, just emotionally when I need to cry. She's always there on the other end of the phone. And our life group has been awesome. I can't tell you how important it is to have that. I mean, I know I cannot come to church and I can still have a relationship with God, but I just can't tell you how important it is to have these people here and to have that support system. The Tuckers let us borrow their car for a week, because after the flood, our car died, our one car, so that was exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, so we borrowed the Tuckers' car. There's just so many people. The Davises, Allison and Tom Davis, took all our clothes, washed them, still have them at their house. And then when we moved in with our friend who also has three kids, and they also took in my mom, she's like, oh, well, let me make y'all dinner. I was like, oh, there's 11 of us. She's like, that's fine. So they made us dinner and brought us over, and everyone's just been amazing. People we don't even know. Caleb Mitchin's wife's parents sent us stuff. Like, I'm just blown away, and anonymous donations, and Rebecca Talkington Crisp has friends that sent us stuff. She sent us stuff. It's just been absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I do want to say thank you to Blaine and the entire youth group for coming over to our house and doing that. That really is amazing that, you know, y'all had a week off of school and y'all decided to come help people, and thank y'all very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've mentioned that to some people too. If you wanted to know how our young people are being formed and shaped, just look at what they did the week of the flood and beyond. And I mean, several of you went on mission trips this summer and things like that. And you know, as adults, we're watching you and we're thinking about, like, is any of this really sticking? You know, we hope it is. And then something like this happens, and so. Youth ministry volunteers and Blaine and Kate and parents, you know, be proud of your teens, and you guys, we're thankful for you. I'm sorry, I'm deviating from my question and answer. I'm getting a little preachy now, but we're just very impressed is probably the wrong word, but we're impressed and we're grateful, and it's so meaningful. Well, tell me just a couple more things. How you guys, you know, I don't in a cheap way want to like jump to like what's the lesson? Like, what have you learned through all this? Because I feel like sometimes it's just, you know, we skip to that and say, well, what is God teaching you? He's going to work it all out. And sometimes we don't sort of sit with the feelings and the hurt of what's happened. But so hopefully we're not skipping too far ahead to ask what as you reflect back on this time and you think about this church family and about what God has done and how you've seen his faithfulness, what would you tell us about that?
I don't know if it was it might have been the first Sunday or the second Sunday after the flood. You know, here and you had asked people to just stand up that had come out of state and he was helping, and you know, just tons of people stood up, and it just hit me that wow, I mean, all these people just dropping everything they're doing and just coming down to help us. And you know, I don't know how people, I don't know, survive is the right word, but live without a church family. It's just the church is such a great place, and it's not just the building, it's the people, and it's the willingness to drop everything, to just help people in need. And I'm overwhelmed with everything that has happened to not only our family, but all our, you know, everyone that was affected here. You know, it's just, there was such an immediate response, and it just, you know, just thank you to everybody, really and truly, because I don't think we'd be where we are without any of y'all. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like, when you think of God's, the two most important commandments, love your God and then love your neighbor as yourself, like, totally saw that, you know, and saw why. Those are the two most important commandments. Sorry. I'm just amazed at people, even just random strangers. Like you said, the people out there on the interstate that were cooking food, and I'm just amazed at how good people really are. And the church has been a huge testament to people in my life that don't come here, like people at my work are like, so how are you getting help? And I've been able to share these stories of our church and what they're doing, and they're like, oh my gosh. And my mom, who doesn't come to church, like had crews at her house from here, from South, gutting her house. There's no way she could have gotten that done. That was a beast. But she's just amazed and blown away, and I just love that she gets to see that and know that there's a people working that love God. And so I'm just so grateful for that. And a couple more people I want to mention, the Lees, the Pounders, have been so good to us throughout all this too. So many people have offered their homes that, you know, already have a lot going on in their life. And that was kind of our plan, was to hop homes, because we're a lot to take in and we're very overwhelming. And the people that have us now, we've been there for the long haul, and they've just been so gracious. And I've learned that you can do acts of kindness, but the heart that you do it with is huge, because they could take us in and we could be button heads because of silly things, but we haven't. We've been there for months, and they've just been so gracious with us and not letting the little things bother them, and even the big things like our wild children. And so I'm just, the heart of how you do things too has just been amazing to see.
Well, we thank you for sharing, and for it's been a blessing to all those people you mentioned and others to get to do anything that's been helpful. Mm-hmm. A lot of us really struggle to accept help, and I would one of the reasons that I thought that you guys would be a great conversation partners for us to listen to today, is that I've seen how you, you've done that well, and with grace and with humility, and with openness, and the blessing that you've seen from that, just opening yourself up to accepting help, is a great example to us. We're sorry that this all happened, and yet we're grateful for you guys and that you're a part of this church family. And I guess I should say it the opposite way, since you've been here much longer than me. I'm grateful to be part of a church family that involves you guys, and we're thankful for the way that you've shared with us this morning. I want to say a prayer, and obviously there are many others of you that I could have brought up here today, and we would have heard equally powerful and different kinds of stories. And but I'm grateful for Aaron and Samantha and Ethan and Caleb and Jackson, and let's bow and pray over them, and then I'll wrap us up here in a few minutes. God, we come before you, and we are grateful. We're grateful for the ways that we've seen you at work, even in the midst of tragedy and heartbreak and loss. What a gift it is to see you revealed primarily through your people, and to see that your love that you've poured into us, that we're able to actually live that out and share it with each other in ways that really, really matter. We thank you for Aaron and Sam. We thank you for their boys. We thank you for watching over them. We thank you for all the kindness that's been shown to them and to many, many others. And God, we thank you for being with us, for being with this church, that we can be together and do life together, and that we can travel with each other and be helpful and care about each other, especially in difficult times. We pray that that would continue to be at the core of our identity, that we would never lose sight of who you've called us to be and how we can love each other as you have loved us. And so be with us in the days and weeks ahead. And thank you again for this powerful story. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's express gratitude to the Hawkins. Here, you can just set those on the ground. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Yeah. While they have a seat, I just want to tie a couple things together. First of all, I just want to show you this really intricate piece of artwork here. Tell me what you see. Black spot, right? What else do you see? A rectangle. It's very literal. Thank you. Yes. There's a lot on here that's not a black spot, right? And I've talked about this before. You've seen this example. When things are tough, when things happen in our lives, they're like these spots that show up. And for most of us, all we can do is focus on that spot when it's there, right? It's just so all-encompassing. It's a home that floods. It's a sickness in our bodies or in the bodies of someone we love. It's things happening in our community. And I just, especially this week with Thanksgiving coming, I've been thinking about this year, about 2016. And although, and we'll talk about this more in just a second, about all the good things to celebrate, won't we be glad when 2017 gets here? I mean, can we just say goodbye to 2016 a little early? It's been a difficult season for so many of us. It's been a difficult season in our community with the tensions this summer and with violence in our community and with the personal tragedies that so many of us have experienced, and people we know we've lost people this year that we love. And then, of course, the flood has been such a difficult season. And all the stuff we talked about the last 3 weeks with politics, I mean, it's just, there's so much that we could focus on right here in this spot. And if you're like me, I wake up some days and I think about everything going wrong. And I go throughout my day thinking about everything going wrong. And the invitation, I guess, with this silly piece of paper is to recognize that there's so much more happening that's not all those things. So much good. And I don't want to gloss over that. I don't want to say that other stuff's not, it's just not all that bad. It is. There's some awful things, truly awful things happening in the world around us, in our hearts, in our communities, in our homes. And yet, there is truly so much right with the world. I forget who said this, but every time I think it, I laugh. It's this statement. We're on a planet. Have you thought about that? We're on a planet. Right now, you could be adrift in space with your oxygen running out. Like, just endlessly, with no gravity, just flying through the universe into the darkness. But we're on a planet. And there's air and food and trees and music and love and life. We're on a planet. Right? You stop to consider how incredible that is. And here we are. We all, this morning, we turned the water faucet on and clean water came out. And many of us have eaten meals and our stomachs are full already today. We're in a room with people who, although we don't always agree on everything, we're in a room full of people who at least are supposed to care about us. And many actually really, mostly, most of the time, really do care about us. And so there's much to be grateful for. Your black dot may be bigger than normal this season and this year. But there's still a lot of yellow space to celebrate. And so this week, I just want to remind us to celebrate. I want to share one passage from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. And it's short. It's not going to be up on the board. It just says this. It says, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful. Pray continually. And give thanks in all circumstances. It's a good reminder that Paul writes this, and he writes in other places just how spectacular his life is. He's in prison a lot. He gets rejected. He goes without food. He spends several nights on the open sea in a shipwreck. He gets bit by a snake after he survives the shipwreck, a poisonous snake. He goes without, he knows what it's like to have much and what it's like to have little. He experiences times when people throw rocks at him until he's dead. Paul knows what it's like to have difficult times, and yet he says, rejoice, always, always, always be joyful. Pray continually and give thanks. Something that really stood out to me from what Aaron Smith has said is how good people are. I'm thinking about this Thanksgiving. The holidays can be difficult times. We spend time with family members and other people that it can be really difficult to even be in the same room as them. For others, holidays are a reminder of a person who's not going to be at the table. It's a difficult time. And for others, it's a time of great joy and celebration. And I was reminded when you guys were saying just how good people are. We need to be reminded of that this season. People are good. Just, can you say that out loud? I know it's going to be difficult for some people. Say that. People are good. This week, when that family member standing across the countertop, eating their pumpkin pie, and they go there. They say whatever it is on the do not say at the holidays list. whether it's political or it's, I mean, you know, we always joke about everybody's got the racist cousin or whatever, right? I mean, we have this, be reminded, people are, and if you need a qualifier, mostly good. Just a tip on that. I want you to remember this line when that happens this week, especially if it's related to politics. Just think this. Our relationship is more important to me than which of us is right on these issues. If we can remember that this week, as we spend time with some difficult people around us, I can't guarantee that some of those things won't come up, but remember that. My relationship with this person is more important to me than which of us is right. Rejoice, pray continually, and give thanks. I want to share this story, and then we'll sing a song and wrap up our time together. There's a story about in World War I in Europe, and many of you have heard this story before, but the Pope recommended that there be a truce on Christmas, that there be a ceasefire. And the hope, of course, was that the ceasefire, the truce, would lead to conversations and to peace and ultimately an end to the conflict. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. The day after the truce, everybody went back to killing each other and the violence. But the story goes like this, and it's been confirmed from multiple different sources that this actually happened. One of the places where the battles were most intense on the front between Germany and the Allied forces, and in the trenches, right? They're all in these trenches, and then there's the in between, the no man's land, just riddled with death and with bodies. And on Christmas Eve, as the sun went down, a British soldier tells the story of hearing from the German trenches a voice begin to sing the song Silent Night in German. And everyone just listened. And the second verse began, and he heard from somewhere down the trench an English voice join in harmony with the German voice. And for a few moments, these two voices sang in different languages from different sides of a conflict, Silent Night, Holy Night, celebrating the peace of Christ. The legend goes that the next morning, everyone laid down their weapons and came out of the trenches, and that there was an actual soccer game in no man's land between the Germans and the Allied forces. And like I said, it doesn't all end in a happy way. The next day, the fighting resumed. But for that brief moment, it was a reminder that there are things that are deeper and more important than all the stuff that's going wrong in the world. And I find that story a helpful metaphor in this season for so many of us that's difficult. That we can anchor our hearts and anchor our soul and anchor our eyes, our thoughts, everything that we think and see on the things that do not change. That God loves the world and that Christ has died and has been raised and is coming back. And that we too have been invited to be part of his family and part of his table. And so take heart that in a world full of brokenness and despair, a holy soccer game can break out in the midst of it. And I want to invite us to be the kinds of people who imagine a world where that kind of thing can happen all around us all the time. And so may we be people of peace. May we be islands of hope and being anchored in the midst of the storms of of life all around us. May we continue to live out our identity as the kinds of people who love the Hawkins the way that they've been loved in this season. That's who we are. And may the world around us find hope as they see the way that we live and the way that we put our trust in God. My prayer for each of you this week and in the season ahead with holidays is that it's a time of deep joy that's deeper than circumstances. And may we all be drawn more and more into the love of Christ and the fellowship of the Spirit. Let's stand together. If you have a need today, if you need prayer, if there is something that our church family can do to be helpful to you, I'm going to ask our shepherds and our ministry staff to be in the aisles and at the front and the back if you have a need at all. Maybe you just want prayer. Maybe you're just really dreading the week ahead and you just need someone to talk to share with. I'm going to ask you to just come find one of our shepherds, one of our ministers, and let us pray with you. Let's sing together. Be blessed.